you in the home 6010.
Welcome in to part two
of the most discussed series on the internet in 2020. That's right, it is the Fantasy Focus virtual live events. And before I tell you who is here with us, I want to remind you the Fantasy Focus football virtual events are presented by Geico. Geico is now offering an extra 15% on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. And Marathon, fueling the American spirit. All right, now I can no longer bear the lead. I am Field Yates. On your screen, I'm not sure exactly what the configuration is, but I believe in the top left, you see Stefania Bell, the real star of this show. You also see Daniel Dopp in his cavernous home. And then you see a guy in front of a bunch of avocados. I'm not quite sure what to make of that. Is that you, Matthew? Matthew Berry?
It is me. I'll tell you what to make of it. So Zoom has this thing where you can't actually choose a virtual background. You have to be on your computer to use one of theirs.
Okay.
So what you can do is you can use pictures that are on your device. If you use it on an iPad, which I'm doing right now, or your phone, you can use pictures that are on your device as your virtual background. And so basically my daughters have used the iPad a lot.
Okay.
And so this is something that my daughter Brooke has designed. It's avocados. She loves avocados. And there's little hearts.
Say the heart, like the core of the avocado, the pit, I believe is what you technically call it.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's designed a little bit like a heart, and
it's
got a little smiley face. It's adorable.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. It's designed by my daughter, and I will not hear you slander it at all.
I think it's a great choice because it actually looks like you.
Yeah, it's like your head.
Wow.
Hey, Stefan, extrapolate that thought a little bit. What do you mean by that?
I mean, kind of the shape, and there's no hair on the avocado, and it's got a big heart, though. Big heart.
Hey, Savanya's saving it at the last minute.
Yeah, nice comeback.
How long
there.
Do I have to be on this thing? Elizabeth, is it over yet? Elizabeth, can I leave?
Yeah, you're contractually obligated for an hour, buddy, so don't try to weasel out of this one as of yet.
Right.
Here's how the show is going to work. It's pretty straightforward. We're going to bob and weave a little bit with a few different segments, and the idea is to be interactive. So you guys submitted a ton of questions, and I've got many, many, many of them right here in a fancy Word document. So the first segment is going to be myself and Matthew and Stefania, and it's going to be a blend of not just fantasy questions and also nonsense questions, but also questions that require some conversation and questions that are just sort of rapid fire, right? Maybe more lineup driven than they are fantasy theory or philosophy or strategy driven. So along those lines, we're going to get things started right here. And the first question comes from Anthony Rivera in San Antonio, Texas. And thank you to Anthony and all of our guests for joining us and submitting questions. Who's the better wide receiver target, Matthew? Brandon Ayuk or Justin Jefferson? Two first-round picks this year.
Justin Jefferson, and I actually don't think it's all that close. Look, Brandon Ayuk's a really nice player, and Stefania, I think your 49ers hit on another one, so congratulations there. But with George Kittle back, with Deebo Samuel back, I think at best, Brandon Ayuk is the fourth option on offense after whoever's at running back. Kittle, Deebo, whoever's at running back, and then maybe Brandon Ayuk. Meanwhile, Justin Jefferson, I guess number three, because you count Dalvin Cook in there. But I think Justin Jefferson is really something special. And as we've seen it other times this year, Adam Thielen can be taken out of the game by an elite corner. So I think Justin Jefferson, to me, you know, I don't think that defense for Minnesota is getting better anytime soon. They're going to have to be throwing it. So give me Justin Jefferson by a decent margin here.
I would imagine we all agree. And Stefania, I know you're a diehard 49ers fan.
Yeah, no, but I'm also objective here. Yeah.
Let's give you another 49ers related question, Stefania, and we can be a little bit more optimistic here. This comes from Evan Turner in Houston, Texas. It also sort of dovetails with a question that Kel Moses from San Diego, California asked, which is, my wide receiver house of cards has collapsed. Can Deebo help? And the same question posed differently from Kel was, should I bank on Deebo Samuel for the future?
So I'm not sure what bank on means. I mean, he came back like we thought he would. He was in a limited role, which was also expected. I think he played 25 offensive snaps, had 3 receptions, and also had a run. And they wanted to see how he responded. And so far, there's been no indication that there was any sort of a setback. And the plan is to evolve his role based on how his foot performed. So I think you'll see it. You'll see him continue to add snaps each week as he's feeling good. And obviously, I mean, Deebo Samuel can be electric. We saw it before. We saw it last year. I think right now he's a flex option, just given that I think he's going to touch the ball for sure. He's going to have the potential to have an explosive play that could, you know, be very generous in terms of fantasy points. But you know that they're putting a cap on it right now for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think the best sign was that he played in week 4 and there was no regression, right? Like, I was a little bit weary of the possibility we'd wake up on Monday and Kyle Shanahan would be doing a press conference at some point from San Francisco and he'd be saying, hey, you know, Debo's a little sore. Debo is, you know, had a step backwards. But the fact that he had none of those issues is very encouraging going forward. So, Matthew, let's keep this rolling here. And a lot of these questions we have is
if Deebo Samuel hadn't gotten hurt, Deebo Samuel would have been drafted as a top 20 wide receiver. That, based on how he finished last year, of the second half of last year, he was nothing short of special. He was a top 20 wide receiver of the second half of last year. He would have been drafted as such. It's only because he was hurt and people were worried he was going to miss the whole season or not come back until the end of the season that his draft stock fell as much as it did. Deebo Samuel's awesome. Like, I'm just setting it right now. I'm just telling you right now. That guy's going to be awesome.
Okay, so speaking of awesome, here's an awesome question from James Sisa, I believe is how you pronounce it, in Los Angeles. And I'll start with you, Matthew. If you were on death row, what would your last meal be?
If I was on death row, my last meal would probably, you know, probably be steak and lobster. Probably do a little surf and turf there, you know.
What would you drink?
What would I drink? I mean, I'd want to be really loaded. I mean, like, so I'd probably drink, like, you know, margaritas, I would assume. Like, you know,
I do love your margaritas.
I do love my margaritas. Although margaritas don't really go well with surf and turf.
Maybe a breakfast would be good.
A breakfast beer? I'm not drinking a breakfast beer. So if I'm on death row, they're killing me in the morning? They give me my last meal? Like, what am I doing? Like, French toast?
Last meal, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, ooh, there's a good idea. Stefania, what would you do?
I first of all, I would do like a French laundry. Like, I'm ordering up all the most expensive, like 12 courses with beverages for tasting that are paired with each course. Like, just, and I'm going out with about 50 desserts.
Yeah, you know what? I like this idea. This actually, you inspired me. Here's what I would do. I'd find a way through my contacts, which means basically Matthew, to get in touch with The Rock. And I'd go find The Rock, and I'd say, treat me to one of your cheat days, because he has the most epic cheat days of all time. And we'd go through a crazy day of eating sushi, and then we'd have French toast, and then we'd have a steak, and then we'd have 8 peanut butter cookies. And I saw he had some fancy double vanilla ice cream from Portland, Oregon.
No. Hold on.
But here's the best part.
Yeah.
And then I'd go out. They'd send me away. They'd send me to the depths of, you know, wherever I'm – apparently destined to head,
yeah,
with a people's elbow. He would just drop me, and that would be my final breath. He would drop a people's elbow on me, and that would be it. Game over.
So the question was about your final meal. Right. I just want the people at home to realize this. The question was about our final meal, which is super dark, right? But Stefania and I both answered the question. Field's answer to what would be your final meal is a dream date with a Rock. you and The Rock, like, you guys are skipping, holding hands down the street as you go from pancake house to you know, Sunday shop. Like, what's going on?
You apparently don't follow The Rock on Instagram and are missing out.
I follow The Rock. I follow at The Rock, but I'm just the idea that you're on death row and Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, is going to take time out of his busy schedule. Future President Rock is going to take time out of his busy schedule to come have a dream date with you. You're a convicted criminal. You're on death row for the love of God.
By the way, if the Rock is coming for anyone, it's for me. because he is a former Cane like me. And by the way, if he came to help me out, it's not for a meal. It's to break me out of jail like he does in all the movies he's in. Then we go get the meal.
The Rock, friend of the 06010. Back in the Nate days, The Rock came through ESPN and he came on the show.
I'm telling you, this is not nearly as far-fetched as you're making it out to be. Let's keep moving questions here.
I mean, I know somebody. I'm actually college friends with somebody who works very closely with The Rock. I could actually get to The Rock. But the idea that I would do it for you, a convicted felon, no, absolutely not.
Your friends, one of your college friends works with The Rock?
Yes.
His grandfather's on the payroll? I didn't know that.
Stop it. No. A buddy of mine that went to, shout out to Brian Gortz. Shout out to my buddy Brian Gortz, who is a hardcore and very talented fantasy player, by the way. I've been in fantasy leagues with Brian for 20 some odd years.
A WWE legend at that as well. Yeah. All right, this is a good problem to have if you're choosing between these two players. But Stefania, I'll start with you. You had to choose between Robert Woods, Bob Trees, and Cooper Kupp. Field Yates' little Cooper Kupp going forward. Who would it be and why?
Between who? Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp?
Little Cooper Kupp.
This is a hard one because each week it seems to be a different one of them, right? So whichever one I pick is going to be the wrong answer. Although I think I'm going to go with Robert Woods. And I don't really have a good reason.
That's totally your explanation. What do you mean?
Because I really do think that either week it can be a toss up between the two. Like volume, in all seriousness, like volume wise, Cooper Kupp probably gets a little bit more volume, but on the consistency ballot, I'm probably going with Robert Woods.
Okay, Matthew, quickly on this one, because I have a really good question that I did not submit, but I want to ask. And by the way, that question about the two Rams wide receivers came from James Lehman in Olympia, Washington. But I have to think an interesting question that I suspect will draw a thought-provoking answer from Matthew. So, quick answer.
So, the answer is I agree with Stefania here. I just think she mentions the consistency. I think there's a higher floor with Robert Woods. Okay. It just feels like he doesn't get taken out of the game the way sometimes Cooper Kupp does, a little Cooper Kupp. They also – they design like two or three sweeps or runs for Robert Woods every game. So, he actually has some rushing value there as well. So, love both guys, but I prefer Woods to Kupp, even though, he is my little Cooper Kupp.
Matthew, this question comes from J.D. Haas, and I'll give it to you first. J.D. hails from St. Inigo's, Maryland. Where do you think fantasy football will be in 20 years?
Where do I think it will be? I mean
– not you, fantasy football.
I don't want to think about where I'll be in 20 years. I think fantasy football will be the same place that it is now, which is insanely popular. I think it will be much more prevalent. I think it will be much more ingrained in game broadcasts. I think, it will be much more, it'll just be much, much more. I think technology will be even better. I think there will be more programming around it, but it's super popular now. I guess the question becomes, so I'll answer it sort of this way, because when PASPA was overturned by the Supreme Court and sports gambling became legal, or that states had the ability to make sports gambling legal in the United States, I did a lot of interviews where people were like, oh, you're worried about fantasy football. And I'd be like, so what you're telling me that no one's been gambling on sports up till now? Stop it. Of course they have. Like, we know, and I'm not encouraging anyone to gamble illegally, but there are a lot of people in this country that do. We know this. It is a multi-billion dollar business. And fantasy continues to grow throughout the years while people have been gambling on sports. People have been gambling on sports ever since there were two cavemen holding rocks, right? And so my point here is that, yes, and I set myself up for an old joke because I was there in the stands. The point here, Field Yates, is that I believe fantasy sports is not going to go away because of sports gambling, which I think a lot of people do believe that to be the case, because there is a very big difference between the communal and community aspect of fantasy football, of getting together with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and going to somebody's house or going to a bar and doing it, going to Vegas, going wherever you go to do your draft, to go and watch the games together on Sunday, to give each other grief, and talk trash and offer trades. That's a very different experience. I'm not saying better or worse, but it's a very different experience than, hey, give me the Patriots and the points, right? Yeah. It's just a different experience. And so I believe sports gambling will be very popular in the United States when it's legal in your state. I'm a fan of sports gambling, but I'm also a fan of fantasy football. And I think both will coexist very peacefully in the future.
Okay. I think that's a very good answer there. Spine, anything you want to add, or are you, for the most part, on?
Wow. Chapin was bored, by the way. Do you see Chapin just leaving the back there, Spine?
He had to go.
Yeah. I basically agree with a lot of what Matthew said. I also think that there will be still more women involved. You know, women are growing in this sport. Their involvement in fantasy football is only growing. And so I expect there to continue to be more women involved.
All right, let's keep things moving here. I thought that was a really interesting question. But before we do, how do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to Geico during Geico Ween. I love making that sound, by the way. Let me try one more time. October is Geico's favorite time of the year, and Geico has been working even harder to cast out high rates on car insurance and craft just the right coverage for you and your family. But here's the thing you may not know about Geico. They could also help you uncover more ways to save on the other things parked in your driveway, like your beloved motorcycle, boat, or even a home away from home, your RV. Geico could even help you save on homeowners and renters insurance. So visit geico.com today, and you'll see firsthand that switching your insurance coverage doesn't have to be scary. The only thing that will haunt your nightmares is seeing just how much you could have saved if you had switched sooner. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Happy Geico-ween, everybody. All right, Matthew, you and I are up here, and we're going to get through
a couple. I was trying to put my head like sort of into the avocado here. Secret Squirrel sent me a text during your commercial read there. New game, Matthew Berry or avocado. Just for anyone at home that thinks Secret Squirrel is like super nice and loving and, oh, you're not alone and, you know, in the love of my arms and all that stuff. Secret Squirrel's mean. He's mean okay, squirrel.
Mean. All right, Matthew, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little more, just let's go a little faster here so we can get some more questions. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. First one comes from David Walker of Brighton, Michigan. Will Christian McCaffrey come back healthy enough to make the trade for him right now?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree there. If I'm betting on a player, generally speaking, Christian McCaffrey is a good bet. Tony Ramos in Brooklyn, New York wants to know, is it worth rostering a second quarterback for matchups and buys? I think we made this point, Matthew, on the podcast. The answer is yes, you should. This year, Cam Newton's situation reminded us of the value of a second worthwhile quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key there is worthwhile. It depends on the size of your league. Like, I don't think you need to be carrying, Philip Rivers. But yes, a second worthwhile quarterback, I think, does have value, not only for yourself for bye weeks and injuries and, you know, God forbid, COVID-19 positive tests, but also for people in your league that suddenly find themselves in that situation, and now you have a tradable asset.
Before you tell me, trust is a strong word, this question comes from Seth Crispin in Austin, Texas. Who should I trust more, Gardner Minshew or Joe Burrow, to keep that thought going about the value of a second quarterback?
I'm going to trust Joe Burrow more than Gardner Minshew. I like both guys quite a bit. I just think Joe Burrow's better. I think Joe Burrow is better. I think and I think he's got more talent around him. I prefer Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Drew Sample, the ghost of A.J. Green, and Joe Mixon to Jacksonville. Where, listen, I like James Robinson. I like Laviska Shenault. DJ Shark's obviously very good. And then you get into the Keelan Coles and Chris Conley's. And so I like both guys. I think both guys are viable, top 12-ish quarterbacks the rest of the way, but give me Burrow over Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, this comes from Dylan. I agree. Yes, I'm a big believer in Joe Burrow, just the person, the player, and looking forward to seeing the continued
growth. No, that dude's going to be special. That dude's going to be special. And I have to tell you something. Like, I think next year, if you were doing a dynasty startup right now, I think he's one of the top six or seven quarterbacks off the board.
I disagree with that part, but I am excited about the player. All right, let's move.
Who would be your top six if we're doing a dynasty startup right now? Yep. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Dak.
Yep. I would take Deshaun Watson for sure. Kyler Murray for sure.
Kyler Murray.
Did I say Josh Allen already? Because I would take Josh Allen first. Josh
at
Allen
six.
I would probably take. I'm sure I'm forgetting. I'm sure this is like.
See, but Russell Wilson's over 30. You're taking Russell? See, I'm not.
I would take Russell Wilson over him. Russell Wilson still got 7 or 8 years in him. I would for sure.
I don't know. That one's closer for me.
Yeah. So, but yes, I think he might be closer to 10 than he is to 6 or 7 for me. Justin Herbert's intriguing to me as well. We can have that conversation further as the situation evolves.
All right.
But along those lines, Matthew, a couple of Bills related questions. We sort of just hinted it, but do you think that this comes from Nestor and Calderon, plus Zion Spedel in Toledo, Ohio? Do you think Josh Allen can sustain this performance for the rest of the season and finish as a top five fantasy quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree there.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point,
yes.
Not just a runner, not just a thrower. The guy's got some serious zip. He's playing with exceptional confidence. And Matthew, he still has two more games against the Dolphins and the Jets. The schedule is favorable enough that I think he's going to have a monster rest of the season.
Yeah, listen, if Stephon Diggs were to suffer a bad injury, then I think it's a conversation. But as long as Stephon Diggs is out there, he's really good. They've done a great job with this offense. Yeah, I mean, he's throwing a lot. He's accurate. He adds rushing with his legs. 100% all in on Josh Allen.
What can we expect, or when can we expect? This question comes from Dylan Murphy in L.A., plus dovetails with Luis Rosario in Buffalo. When can we expect to get some value from J.K. Dobbins, and what would you do with Mark Ingram for the rest of the season? Is the answer to J.K. Dobbins 2021?
Unfortunately, it's looking that way, barring an injury to Mark Ingram. If something were to happen to Mark Ingram, then I think J.K. Dobbins. But right now, J.K. Dobbins, I think, is just an upside bench stash. Whereas Mark Ingram, what do we do with him? I think welcome to Dumpsville. Or try to trade him and get whatever you could for him.
Yeah, he might be a hold only in the event that things go crazy. But if you needed the roster spot, I think he's a droppable candidate. Don't love the idea, but I think it's possible. This one is tied to, and this comes from both Melvin Fisher in Chicago and Jordan Hilbert in Brookings, South Dakota. How do you value David Johnson versus James Robinson the rest of the season in PPR? And will James Robinson finish as a top 14 running back? Interesting question right there. Which one should you choose?
I prefer James Robinson to David Johnson.
Isn't that wild? Isn't that crazy?
It's insanity.
Yeah.
It's insanity, but honestly – both from a production standpoint, from an eye test, from who do I feel better about health-wise throughout the season. Like, I think James Robinson, to me, the eye-opener was that Thursday night game against the Dolphins in which everything that could go wrong for the Jaguars did. And James Robinson still had a monster fantasy day. He's playing all the running back snaps. Chris Thompson is not a thing. It's going to be an offense that you know, does better than what we think. And so David Johnson just – they're not using him a lot. It doesn't feel like he has that burst. That, you know, it seems like the David Johnson we saw in week one hasn't been there since field. And so it's close to me, but give me James Robinson over David Johnson. As for James Robinson, top 14 fantasy running back, it's right around that range. I don't know. It definitely top 20.
I was going to say, I'd have to look really closely to cut the point off or to have 14 be the cutoff point, but I think certainly in the conversation, for top 15 to 20. All right, let's move forward.
And would you take Robinson over David Johnson too?
Yes, I would. This is an interesting question. It's not fantasy, but I still like the question. It comes from Mark Pettit in Rochester, New York. What is your perfect day in the off season?
My perfect day in the off season is on a boat, on the water.
Okay.
With my family, with my daughters.
Okay.
And my family.
Water.
And some friends. Yeah. Just on the water, near the beach, but like just, you know, on a boat somewhere with family and friends.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good answer right there. What are you drinking? Margaritas?
I switch it up sometimes. Margaritas, sometimes Coronas, sometimes some Prosecco. Got into Prosecco a little bit this summer.
Okay.
So yeah. Unless, of course, I'm driving the boat, in which case,
yeah,
merely Diet Cokes.
Here you go. Very smart and responsible. My perfect day is Nantucket, of course. Chapin, Cisco. I think it's got to involve some golf in the morning, and then the beach, and then head to the Cisco Brewery, of course, which is our favorite spot on Nantucket with some friends. Gosh, what it will be like to have a day like either of those that we just described right now. We didn't have to worry about some of the real things that are taking place in our world, but obviously we can't all have what exactly we want right now. One other fantasy one, Matthew, here is, will Preston Williams, this comes from Alejandro Revuelta in Miami Lakes, Florida, will Preston Williams bounce back the rest of the season?
I don't know. Boy, you know, I got to give props to Stefania on this one because I was super high on Preston Williams coming into the season as kind of a late-round sleeper, and Stefania, you know, sort of was waving the caution flag saying, you know, just, you know, removed from that ACL. Like, I would expect a slow start here. You know, I think he's healthy, but players coming back from that kind of injury, from those ACL injuries, tend to start slow. And boy, Stefania was right on the money there. I'll tell you, Field, you and I are in the 16-team War Room League here at ESPN. Preston Williams is on my roster there. Like, I'm not going to drop Preston Williams, but I've been thinking about it. And the fact that I'm thinking about dropping him in a 16-team league should tell you all you need to know about Preston Williams so far.
Okay. Another question comes from Danny Mercer. I don't know if it's Danny. He's from Mercer, which I don't know where Mercer is. He wants to know what my favorite fall craft beer do you wait all year for? And I just mentioned how I go to the Cisco Brewery.
You do.
Every once in a while. There are a million pumpkin lattes and pumpkin everything during the fall, but there's a Pumple Drumkin, which is Cisco's fall pumpkin beer. That's the one that I wait for all year. Cutler Matthews surprise, right?
I will say this about you and your Cisco Brewery love. I will say, I've heard you talk about it for years, and when Stefania and I were on Nantucket for your wedding, we decided to go. So Stefania and I, well, actually, I take that back. Stefania and Beth, my wife, decided to go. They let me tag along.
Right.
But we went to the Cisco Brewery for the day before your wedding that night and had a blast. It is a great time.
It is a great spot. That much is for sure. All right. So we want to get everybody, all of us in the mix here again as we keep running through a ton of questions. And the good news is that we've got a lot of questions to answer. So it'd be nice to have everybody interactive. But before we get Daniel and Stefania back in the mix, a reminder that now more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. Marathon wants you to know that you count on them for the high-quality, top-tier gas. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and by reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a deal you can count on. It's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio and start saving today. This offer is valid at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever you need to go, be safe. The people at Marathon are behind you all the way. All right, it's great to have Daniel back in the mix and Stefania as well. And Daniel's going to run points here. And we got tons of questions, Daniel, so I'll let you just fire away.
Yeah. Do we want to wait for Matthew to get back?
I'm here. I'm here.
I'm so sorry. I thought it was an avocado. I didn't realize.
I thought you did there. Listen, I just want everyone at home to know what was happening is that I thought you were making fun because I was on my phone. And, like, you're texting me on my phone about the show. So I'm actually, you know, like, you're blowing up my phone. I'm trying to pay attention to the stupid phone to know what you want to do with this dumb show. And, you know, no, and now you're just, oh, I see. But no, it's an avocado. I'm a bald guy joke. Got it.
That's what it is.
But it's been good times.
Yeah.
Am I done? Have I filled my contractual obligation yet to this thing?
You're halfway, buddy. You're halfway.
All right. Yeah. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Next question. Matthew, I'm going to throw this one to you. Travis Dean in Bloomington, Illinois wants to know, what poster did you have on your wall as a kid?
Oh, God, that's a – well, they didn't have posters back then. No, you know what? A good one. So I had a Christina Applegate from Married with Children poster back in the day. I had some, like – I had, like, sports ones. I definitely had, like, I had a Joe Theismann. Because I was a huge Washington football team football poster. I'm sure I had some attractive young women Cheryl Teagues. I remember having a Purple Rain poster. I was a huge Prince fan. Am a huge Prince fan. So I had a Purple Rain poster, and let's see. Oh, and you know, I'm probably like some. I want to just give a shout out. I don't think I had a poster, but because. Eddie Van Halen passed away today. Very sad. I definitely had a lot of Van Halen stuff. I'm a big Van Halen fan. So that was a real bummer. RIP Eddie, one of the greats.
Heck yeah. Yes, he was. All right, Stefania, I have this question for you. I thought about whether I should or shouldn't ask it, but I'm just going to go in because I think it's really valuable information for our listeners. Joshua Fields from Greenwich, Connecticut wants to know, what is your best suggestion on how to do a cleanse?
Okay, first Greenwich, of all, I didn't get past the, did you say Greenwich?
Yeah, it's Greenwich.
Greenwich.
Oh, sorry. I'm not from
the corner from Woodchester.
What do you guys want me to do here? What do you want me to say? It says Greenwich.
I just had to okay. Because, you know, put some respect on the man's hometown. Respect. Yeah. Greenwich. Okay. As for cleanses, so I am not a cleanse person. I don't do cleanse. And
you're not clean?
It's not to... Huh?
You're not clean? You don't clean yourself?
No. Okay. This is going to go so far the wrong direction. It's not something I do. I can't do liquid for multiple days. Like, that's not my thing. And so I can't advise on a cleanse, but I will say this in all seriousness, just make sure you consult with your health professional before doing it. It's a true story. I had a girlfriend who ended up in the hospital with gallbladder surgery after a cleanse because it had that kind of effect on her. So you have to be smart. You have to be careful. I choose when I'm doing all liquid, come on, it's wine.
Daniel, I've been on a Pop-Tart cleanse for the last decade.
Yep. It seems about right. That seems
it's all Pop-Tart.
Like yeah.
A lot of Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. I'm going to go field. I'm going to throw this one at you. Daniel Neal from Hillsboro, Missouri wants to know, how often do you guys get recognized in public?
Depends on where I am. So I live in Boston, as everybody lives, or many people know. And Boston is a big city, but there are parts of it that feel small, right? Like, you go to Fenway Park, where there are a lot of sports fans because they're watching a baseball game. A lot of sports fans not only like baseball, they also like fantasy football. So that happens quite frequently on Nantucket. Same deal. But for the most part, I'm very much like, so if the alphabet only went from A to Z, and I wasn't a Z-lister, but I was in like an alternate alphabet at the bottom of that, I would say that level of public figure.
That's fair. I will say I remember going out after a show with Matthew and Stefania, one of our live shows in New York. And Matthew, you just got surrounded by people. And they were all very good looking dudes that loved fantasy football. It seems like that was sort of your wheelhouse there with men in the 20 to 40 range.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know what, I'll tell the story for a quick detour here, but I think people will enjoy. When Beth and I were dating, you know, we'd been going out for about 6 months, I think. And Beth said to me, she's like, I want to have a talk. And I go, what's that? She goes, you know what? Listen, I have to be honest with you. I'm starting to fall for you. I'm starting to have real feelings for you.
I thought this was a true story.
It's a true story. Look, look at me. I look like an avocado over here. Like the only reason Beth is with me is because of true feelings. Like, come on. It's not like I'm some trophy husband here. Anyway, but she said, I'm starting to have real feelings for you. And she goes, but I have to be honest with you. I'm nervous about, you know, getting serious with someone who's on TV. I'm genuinely nervous about that. And I said, look, I don't know what to tell you there. I said, you know, I can tell you what I can tell you till I'm blue in the face. I said, but you know, you either trust me or you don't. We either have trust or we don't, but I'll tell you what, I'm doing an event this weekend. Why don't you come out to the event and, you know, we'll talk afterwards. So she comes out to the event, and after the event, she goes, she took one look at sort of the crowd and, you know, my fan base, and she's like, you know what, I'm good. Don't worry about it. We're never brought up anything. Because it is. It's like it's 99% dudes. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when I was single, and I'd be out at a bar, and like, you know, usually you're right. Like, it's a lot of dudes always come up to me. But, every once in a while, there'd be a young woman that would come up to me and like, are you Matthew Berry? Like, I am. And they'd be like, oh my God, my boyfriend loves you. Honey, it's him. They'd be like, good job. There you go. So, good. Yeah.
Yes. First to find you, let me just speak from personal experience. You know, Matthew has people, you know, circle around him in a non-COVID world around New York City. Meanwhile, Stefania, we're in New York City, and people will just surround her. One guy will start waving the fan. Another guy will offer some sort of delicious meal. Another guy will get down on one knee and propose to her. Another guy will ask, you know, if she can sign his elbow. And, you know, like, it's a whole different level.
No, well, Phil, remember, she's the one that gets the limo. I'm also riding.
You know, it's that is a true story. That was the best. When Matthew and I were riding together and it had my name on the drivers put the tag in the window and then it said also riding Matthew Berry.
Are you serious? Also riding?
Ryan and I did an event together. But I also think, I know this sounds, but I'm partially, some of that has to do with, like, whatever, I've been at ESPN longer than you, Fielder, for example. But I also think, by the way, I think I'm unique looking. You know what I mean? Like, Field, like, you're like this clean cut, normal guy, right? No, but right, I look like an avocado, as Stefania is mouthing to me. But whatever, like I have a unique look. I would think Daniel would get recognized a decent amount, actually.
A fair amount, because everywhere that I go, once we start talking, like if I go to shows and stuff like that, the intersection of sports dudes and music dudes is actually pretty hard. And so from that perspective, like it happens a fair amount when I go to shows. All right, next question we have here. That was good. There were some good stories there. I appreciated all of that. next question we have here comes from Harvin Mummick in New Jersey says, who has it worse, Matthew with Washington, Daniel with Detroit, or me with the Jets? Quill, do you want to go first? Go ahead.
What was the fellow's name who asked again?
Harvin
Mummick.
Harvin Mummick, you have it the worst. And here's why. Matthew's got a coach. Daniel's got some talent and a quarterback. And, you know, obviously I think most people on the podcast know I'm a bigger believer in the administration in Detroit than most. Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, people I admire. But the Jets, do they have a coach? That's obvious. The answer is no, right? And I'm not sure you have a quarterback. I think there is a world that exists in which Sam Darnold becomes a good quarterback in the NFL. But if you're not seeing it consistently by year three, or even like large flashes year three, then there are not a lot of examples of guys that start to make the turnaround in year four of their NFL career. So I'm going to go with the Jets.
I'm going to say I think that world does exist for Sam Darnold, and it's a world in which he's no longer coached by Adam Gase. There is a long history of people that have gotten away from Adam Gase and suddenly had success in the NFL. Right? I'm still a believer in Sam Darnold's talent. I think he just needs to get to a team that has some talent and a coaching system that works for him. I would argue that I have it worse. Jets fans definitely have it worse. But I will say this. I'm a Joe Douglas believer. Field, and I think you are as well.
I am, yeah.
So there is we'll see about the owner of the Jets. And as long as Adam Gase is there, I get it. But I am a believer in Joe Douglas. With my Washington football team, to your point, we do have a coach. We have a coach in Ron Rivera. I'm a fan of Jason Wright, their new president. But I would argue I have it worse, or Washington fans have it worse, because not only is the team terrible, but although there is some upside and there's some hope here, but just because of everything that's gone on with that franchise, you know, that has come out of the offseason, which has just honestly made me embarrassed to be a fan of the team. You know, that just like, because I just, forgetting the on-field product is poor for Washington, has been for quite some time. Same with Detroit, same with the Jets. But the off-field stuff is just, it's unspeakable. Like, it's disgusting and awful. And you're just like, this, you know, so that's, I would just, not to go too dark a place or too negative, but that's, you know, it's, in terms of the football, in terms of the pure football product, I would agree Jets fans have it worse. But I think it's been a tough, very tough year to be supporting Washington in any facet in terms of the professional football franchise.
All right, I'm going to throw this question to Stefania. This comes from Amanda Nur in Atlanta, Georgia. How did you first get into fantasy football?
I think it was some PT friends of mine who were playing, and they were always talking about it. And when I started playing, it was before everything was online. And so they had to, check box scores. And so it was always Monday at work, and people were always talking about it, mostly guys, but there was this whole big competitive league that they were in. And I love football, but I didn't understand what was appealing about fantasy football. And it was just that they were talking about it so much that I finally was like, okay, you need to explain this to me and I need to find out what this is. And so they were the ones who introduced me to it and made the mistake of inviting me into their league. And then I
crushed them like grapes.
Crushed him. Yeah, no. But that's actually what turned me onto the idea of being able to do something related to sports medicine and fantasy football and tying it together. So I really should be thanking them for introducing it to me, because look what happened.
Yeah, so there's I'll tell my story. So growing up, I used to watch this guy on TV all the time. Balding, has deep roots to the Washington, D.C. area. Funny, witty, got a good sort of disposition about him, and just really related to the viewers. And I've been a fan of Scott Van Pelt ever since.
Yeah.
And really, he brought me into fantasy football in a way that I wasn't aware I would ever learn to love it. And I thank SVP for my fantasy football career.
Mm-hmm. SVP's the best.
All right. This is going to be a two-part question. Matthew.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out where he was going because it looked like he was going to insult me, and then he started talking nicely.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out. But that makes sense now, saying nice things about SVP. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. I'm going to ask two questions here, Matthew. This first one's for you. I want you to think about it while I have Field answer the next question, okay? Question comes from Austin Siebert in Waxahaw, North Carolina. I believe Austin Siebert is the
kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Kicker for the Bengals.
We're pretty sure it's that Austin Siebert. Matthew, will you choose a Marvel character for each member of the 06010 podcast?
Okay. I'm going to think about that while you have Field.
Field Yates.
Field flexing.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure you give me a good character.
Field, my question to you is from Will Tong in Queens, New York.
Okay.
If you're up a couple of points on Monday, is it ethical to bench your last player?
I believe it is not. I believe that, and this is what I've always fallen back on is my rationale behind it, is that fantasy football, for probably almost everyone that's watching this tonight, is a 52-week per year interest, right? I never am not thinking about fantasy football. Hardly a day goes by, right, where you're not thinking about it. And that's really cool and awesome for us. But the reality is that even though we think about it year-round, we get 17 opportunities at most, depending on how deep you go in your playoffs and if your league plays all the way until week 17, to actually enjoy the head-to-head competition. Along those lines, I've always believed that you should play a player in every slot, every week, no matter what. I sort of feel like it's not the exact same thing, but it falls into the same spirit of the game category that I believe in which you should not be dropping players from your roster to help your friends when you are out of the playoff picture. If you have something to compete for, even if it is not championship, I still believe you should be using the waiver wire. So if you have some sort of prize for winning the consolation bracket, or if you are penalized by finishing dead last in your league, whether it's points or record or consolation bracket, you should do your best to avoid falling into that. So I'm just a big spirit of the game kind of guy.
Okay. Matthew, you good? Or you want a little bit more time?
Matthew, you're contemplating. Does that mean you have your picks?
I think so.
All right.
No, I'm all right. I think I got it. I think I got it. I think I got it. So who do you want me to give? Who do you want me to answer first?
Whichever order you want to go in, whatever feels right to you.
Hello? All right. Well, so Field was the easy one. Field's the easy one. And that's Captain America. You know, Captain America is honest and true and forthright and a little bit square. And that's Field. That's Field, just sort of right down the middle. America's ass. Anyway, that's Field Yates right there. So that's, I would say Field is Captain America.
Thank you.
Stefania was tough. There were a lot of different ways I could go with Stefania. But I chose Scarlet Witch. So Scarlet Witch is somebody who deals a lot with the mental aspect. So she has a lot of powers. She has a lot of powers, but she ultimately has Scarlet Witch has the ability to manipulate minds and to change. And so truthfully, Stefania, hold your ears. I don't want you to hear this. But I'm going to tell this to Fields and Daniel and the rest of the audience. So I don't want Stefania to hear this. Stefania is the smartest person I know. And so, we joke a lot about how many degrees she has and everything like that. Well, there's a reason she has so many degrees. It's because she's earned them. And so I just thought about in terms of the mental aspect, you know, I thought Scarlet Witch was the right and the appropriate person for Stefania to be, because it's all mental with Scarlet Witch. You know, she has lots of powers too, but there's that. Daniel, you were the toughest, honestly, for me. But where I landed was Hawkeye. You know, so Hawkeye, of course, has such a sharp shooting eye. He's such a bullseye, because I feel like on the podcast, you don't talk nearly as much as any of us, but when you do, you nail it. It's always the right joke. It's always the right drop at the right time. And so much like Hawkeye, you know, piercing from a long distance, I feel like that's you. Also, the other thing is that Hawkeye, if you watch the movies, Hawkeye has a really strong moral code. I mean, they all do. They're all superheroes, but some of them are more flawed than others. And Hawkeye has a very, very, he's a family guy, but he has a very, very strong moral code, a military background, which I feel is also very similar to you, Secret Scroll. In addition to military background, you have a very strong moral code, I know. So I thought Hawkeye was appropriate for you.
Man, you make it so hard to keep making fun of you when you say nice stuff about us.
So who are you?
I'm a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, obviously. Let's be clear. All right. Hand over the case, Stark. Come on.
All right, we're going to do two more questions. This next one comes from Francisco Gonzalez in Texas. Wants to know, and Matthew, I'm going to start with you and then go around. What sport do you guys think should have a bigger fantasy market than it currently does?
The NBA, which, I mean, honestly, fantasy basketball is like the perfect sport for fantasy. And when I say bigger market, I mean, it's probably the number two fantasy game. Like, that and fantasy baseball are sort of right there. But the difference between fantasy football and fantasy basketball is fairly massive, and I don't think it should be.
Yeah.
It'll be really interesting to see, because I think the next NBA season, because we're still, because of COVID and everything and the postponement, I believe the next NBA season obviously isn't going to start at the end of October like it normally does. They're going to take some time. So it may not start until late December, early January for the next season. It'll be interesting to see, without football around, if fantasy NBA picks up in a big way. I'm hoping it is, because it's a great game. It's a lot of fun.
Heck yeah. Field, anyone other than NBA?
Yeah, so I think NBA was going to be where I was going to lean as well. And for those that haven't played, it has some similarities to baseball, in the sense that, like, you're talking about multiple categories and you're talking about things that are not, like, guys can score points in different ways. In football, obviously, it's just one big point total that you count per week. So one of the things that makes football really fun, fantasy football really fun, is the transaction side of it and the trade part of it. But in the NBA, there's even more of that. Like, you're making waiver moves every single night in the league that Matthew, Stefania, Daniel, myself all play in, plus several other people that you know from the podcast staff. You get seven moves per week. So I think it is a little bit more strategic. And I understand that part of why fantasy football is really popular is because, although you can put as much heart and soul into it as you want, there are some people that essentially check their lineups on Thursday morning. They do it one more time on Sunday. They might look at the result on Monday, and they might put waivers in on Tuesday, and that's it. Whereas all of us obviously spend, you know, hours agonizing over waiver claims and lineup decisions and trades. So basketball is a bit more involved. It requires more effort, but I find it super fun. And I think you guys, I know the three of you know this, like, basketball, the NBA, love it. Huge fan of it as a league. I find the players to be just, like, I have immense respect for all the players and all the stuff they have done. And I find it to be sort of a gravitational pull towards the NBA players. It's a fun league to watch, in my opinion. And go Heat. Sorry, Matthew.
John, please. My Lakers are winning this. My Lakers are winning in six.
Yeah, they are.
My Warriors have already won so much, we decided to sit this one out.
Yeah. You know, it was great. Like, I've known Stefania for, at this point, I think I've known her 15 years. And literally the first time I ever heard her mention the Warriors was the year they started, where they were dominating.
Stop.
Like, she never, ever, ever.
That's not true.
I became a Warriors fan.
You just drowned me out because you were talking over me probably when I was talking about the Warriors.
That's what it is.
All right, last question, and it's actually going to come from me, and I'm going to start this because I want to know this for you guys. 2020 has just been a crazy year. There's been a bunch that's happened. It's been a lot mentally to deal with, staying at home and self-isolation and quarantining. So there've been a couple of things for me that I've really like grabbed onto that I've loved that have like sort of helped me mentally kind of process all of this and deal with it. And I just wanted to share some of those things. I would love it if you guys had anything that you did as well. For me, there's an album by Phoebe Bridgers that just came out called Punisher that was absolutely incredible. You should check it out. And she has been amazing for my mental health. So I really love her. And there's a podcast and a YouTube show called Critical Role that's like a Dungeons & Dragons campaign led by Matt Mercer. And they do like 4-hour blocks of these TV shows, and there's just tons and tons of episodes. Loved being able to get into that. Both of those were like super helpful for me over what was a really long summer. So I just wanted to share that in case anyone else was interested in those kind of things. And I kind of want to go around and see, you know, what you guys have been doing this summer to help keep your guys' head in a good space.
Yeah, great question, Daniel. I'll start then. So besides the obvious things, you obviously have, we got a dog, but that was not a quarantine decision. That was something that we had in the works for a long time. He just happened to arrive in April, which was about a month into quarantine. And you know, the usual Netflix, right? Like I've been binging Schitt's Creek, which is just a phenomenal show and just great.
So good.
You know, something that I found, Daniel, has been kind of fun recently and I haven't done in a while is a puzzle. And here's the reason why I got back into puzzles. And before you tell me I'm a nerd, I don't care, is that there are a lot of things that you can do that you can easily zone in and out of, right? I mean, even watching TV shows, you could just as soon grab your phone, check your Twitter, your Instagram, whatever, fantasy app, you name it, right? Those things are easy to do while also kind of still watching TV. A puzzle requires your focus, it requires your attention, and it's the thinking individual's activity. So I like puzzles. I've been doing a lot of those, and there are the kind of things that you can do, and you can go back to the same puzzle a year later and still find it to be equally difficult.
Heck yeah. Matthew, you want to go next? You're next on my screen of four.
Sure, whatever you want. For me, you know what? It's been, there's a couple of things. First off, believe it or not, my neighbors. You know, it's interesting because during the summer, you sort of, you're going everywhere. And like, you know, my 16-year-old plays travel lacrosse. And so I would be, you know, at tournaments with him during the weekends, everything like that. But, you know, because of COVID and everything, like we didn't go anywhere. And so after a while and people had, you know, had quarantined for a while and we were all safe, like we're there. And we actually really got to know some of our neighbors. Not a ton of them, but there was sort of like we had like a little quarantine group, you know? And so, you know, we would socially distance and we'd meet outside for drinks or whatever. But it was really fantastic. And we, you know, in a way that we never had before, you know, before it had just been sort of like we'd wave hi. But like we became very close with our neighbors and my daughters, you know, met friends that they didn't really know they had and on our street. And so that's been really special to sort of, that's been very nice. A positive benefit of just not being able to go anywhere is that Beth and I and our children have made new friends. And the other thing is, honestly, in terms of an answer to your question, in terms of what helps keep me normal and sane, is honestly, you guys. Like, I think I am so incredibly blessed when you think about what goes on in this country and what so many people are dealing with and going through right now. The fact that I have been able to come back to a job that I love with people that I like and admire and respect and enjoy spending time with. You know, there's unemployment's been so prevalent and it's just been so awful. And the people that are still working, their work environment has changed. And so honestly, I feel incredibly blessed and lucky that, that not only am I still working, but that I'm getting to continue to do the job that I'm, you know, incredibly blessed to get to do. And you guys and the staff of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus and the Fantasy Football Now crew, there's a lot of overlap between all three shows, but being able to do all that and work with my editors around the column and, you know, and keep working at ESPN has been, you know, a real blessing and not one that I take for granted.
Thank you, man.
Well said, bud. Really well said.
Yeah. It's hard to follow because I actually really agree with Matthew. I mean, I think my outlook has improved just in being able to get back together with you guys for the show. So It's hard being home alone, even though I have my awesome little Rico who I adopted. He was a pandemic adoption, you know, deliberately, because I knew I would have more time at home. And so he's been awesome. And everybody knows I'm from California, and normally in the off season, or, you know, the downtime, I'd be traveling to California. I go to training camp. So the travel restriction's been hard on me because I haven't been able to see my family for months. And I have elderly parents in the Bay Area who are trying to navigate everything that's going on in California, but, you know, elderly with health conditions, with wildfires and a pandemic and you name it. And, you know, my brother with two little kids in LA also dealing with wildfires and pandemic. And, but I will say I've been so grateful for technology. As much as we curse it, it is the reason we're able to do a show like this and interact with all of you. It's the reason I've been able to see my family, even though I couldn't physically be with them. And that has really been the saving grace. So I've probably done more FaceTime, Skype, and Zoom meetings. And I'm a big reader, and I don't get to read as much during the football season, but one of my favorite things that happened during quarantine was my little niece, who's 8 years old now, really got into Nancy Drew mysteries, which I had the whole collection when I was a kid, and I read them all, and I still have the collection because I have every single one. And my niece would call me and be like, can we read together? So that we could see each other. And I mean, the fact that she wanted to do that with her auntie, which normally we can't do, or we wouldn't do, because, you know, we're thousands of miles apart. And so I tried to find the positives in the times that were difficult, and things like that made me just really appreciate my friends and my family. And like Matthew said, working with awesome people who I was really glad to be able to actually physically see. I think the first time we got back in the building and I saw you guys, like, I wanted to hug you. I didn't, because I'm being responsible, but I wanted to.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you said that. Like, I'll just share this little anecdote too. So when I lived in LA, and I lived in LA for a long time, graduated college, I moved out to LA with a group of people. We all sort of, you know, guys that I went to college with, a group of us all went out there to pursue careers in show business, and we would play poker once a week. I'm a terrible poker player, but all my friends are also terrible poker players, and we all have been for years. But it's a poker game where we all just, you know, it's low stakes, and it's mostly about, you know, busting each other's stones and just you know, having fun and laughing. And it's a game that continues to this day. But when I had to move away from LA to come to Bristol, to come to ESPN, I obviously left that game. And when I would go back to LA, I would join them. But, you know, I don't get to see them. But with COVID, we decided to start up virtual poker games. And so we would play, we all get on like a Zoom call and we all play. We play on a site and we're all talking to each other while we're playing online. And so I've actually been able to rejoin my weekly poker game with all my college buddies, who I don't, you know, I get to see maybe once a year, maybe twice a year. And so it is, I've actually reconnected with a lot of people, to your point, Stefania, with technology, that, you know, you get busy with job and work and wife and kids, and you just, like, you know, and next thing you know, it's been 6 months and you haven't talked to somebody. And so that's actually been really nice as well.
Heck yeah. It's really cool too, that there have been so many senior citizens using technology during all of this.
It's very true. Very true. And yeah, takes a little bit. Takes a little
Remember
bit.
Remember Hawkeye.
I know, Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. Okay, there you go.
All right. Today's show was brought to you by Geico. It's Geicoween. Switch to Geico and see how much you could have been saving. It'll haunt you. And by Marathon. These days we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with top quality tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Guys, thank you so much for doing this. This was a ton of fun. Super grateful also for all of you sending in questions. It's been absolutely great. Thank you for all of this. If you don't mind, Field, I'm just going to close it out and say thank you for everybody. Field, Stefania, Matthew, I'm Daniel. We have a regular podcast tomorrow, Wednesday morning, so we will see you guys then.
Peace out.
Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football. and what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.